Welcome to episode 34 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Barzeski in Pennsylvania. Joining me, as always, Jeff Smith in Washington.
Hello.
You're still in Washington this week, right?
Still in Washington. I'm just across the narrowest bridge from Tacoma. I'm in Gig Harbor.
Broadcasting from your parents' house.
From mom and dad's.
No, Jeff has not moved back in. He's just visiting, so.
Just temporarily.
This is episode 34 of the Golf Talk Podcast, and if we don't pick up our pace, Tiger might have more majors than us than we have podcasts soon, so.
No kidding.
Tiger winning his 12th major out of 40. That's a 30% winning percentage, or he's batting 300 in the majors, despite taking parts of 4 years off, almost 4 years off, two separate times to work on his swing. Really an impressive. I mean, it was boring. I think I said around the fourth hole in our live blog, it's over, and it was.
Well, you know, everybody expected Tiger to go out there and play well, do his thing. You know, there's just not anyone who really can hang with him. I mean, we've seen Chris DeMarco do a great job, and, you know, of kind of sticking with him. Of course, the Masters.
That's been about it.
You know, but it's like, you know, I don't know if anybody expected Luke Donald to really hang with Tiger, and of course he proved that he didn't, or he can't, or however you want to put it.
Yeah, well, everybody back, I mean, everyone, I thought there would be a chance, though. I mean, everyone played really well on Saturday. I mean, Tiger had to shoot 6-under, I believe, right, to take the lead. I think he shot 7-under on Saturday, 65, mm-hmm. to tie the course record. So Tiger had to do that just to get the lead on Saturday, amid a bunch of guys going hog crazy, birdie, eagle right. here, eagle there. And then Sunday comes, and Luke Donald shoots 74, and the guy that made the biggest charge was Adam Scott, and he was 7 shots back to start right. the day, so just nobody did anything.
Yeah, well, people are going to have to get out there. I mean, in Luke Donald's case, he's going to have to get out there and shoot 5-under, 6-under on the final day, and no one has proved that they can do that.
Sean McKeel closed with a 69. Well, okay. You know, he takes second place.
Yeah, five shots back.
Five shots back. Nobody does anything. I mean, this is just boring, and yet, at the same time, if the camera simply followed Tiger around, it would be compelling to watch just because we're seeing an amazing athlete at his near best.
The difference with Tiger, obviously, is he's able to get it done. When he has to make the putt, he makes the putt. In final rounds, he shoots the scores that he has to. And that's really the deal breaker, is Tiger gets out there and does exactly what he has to.
And he made the remark on Saturday that this wasn't a normal major. And a normal major for Tiger is one that he enjoys, in that par is a good score. Guys aren't shooting 10 under or threatening to shoot 10 under, you know, or shooting 7 under or 6 under on a regular basis. There aren't a lot of rounds in the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. Tiger typically avoids the low-scoring events on the PGA Tour, you know, the Bob Hope and all those birdie fests, because that's not how his game is built. His game is built to manage his way around the course and make pars when he has to, birdie when he has to, but, you know, he's not a fling-it-at-the-hole-and hope it sticks kind of guy. Yet he was able to play that game this week and walk away with his 12th major. Again, defending his 12-for-12, you know, going into the final round of a major with a lead, something like 39 of 42, I think, in all tour events, winning his 51st PGA Tour event. He's been on tour for 10 years now, 12 majors. That's 1.2 a year. At that pace, he's going to break Jack Nicklaus's record in 6 years.
Yeah, and if he keeps on this pace, he's going to do it a lot sooner than that.
And it's odd to think, too, that this is only his third multiple major year. I mean, he had one last year, winning the Masters and the British Open. One this year, and then in 2000, of course, when he won 3 of them.
Oh, yeah, he's on fire. And again, you know, his swing is on right now. Tiger's playing, obviously, great golf. You know, 3 in a row now. It's remarkable.
And he's playing this week. He's going to take a couple days off, but he'll be at Firestone. I'll be out there for a couple days here and there. But, of course, he's done well. I think he's won there 4 times. So, you never know. I mean, Byron Nelson, I mean, it's a long ways off. You know, he's at 3 right now, but Byron Nelson's 11 in a row is looking, you know, like it could be in danger here, really. I mean,
yeah.
Very slim odds in reality of that happening, just because of the parity among the other 143 players in a given week. But, eek. Wow. Don't know what to say other than that. It's just, it's boring, and yet it's so compelling at the same time to watch him in a final round of a major when he has the lead.
And just step up there and dominate.
Point out that his official world golf ranking is now 20.99. Phil Mickelson's nearest at 8.93. Wow. So Tiger's lead is larger than Phil's point total.
Remarkable.
So I'm closer to Phil Mickelson in official world golf ranking than Phil is to Tiger Woods.
And that, yeah, that's saying something.
It's true. You're just as close. You're closer to Phil than Phil is to Tiger Woods.
Is that really true?
Well, you have 0 points, right?
That's
so
true.
You're only 8.9 Tigers, 12 points ahead of Phil Mickelson.
Wow.
Is Tiger twice as good as Phil? I won't get into all that again, but yes, come on. Of course, after the PGA is all said and done. By the way, I want to point out, too, you know, a lot of people are thinking Tiger Woods had this bad year last year. He didn't finish outside the top four in majors, winning two last year. Hasn't finished outside the top four in majors this year, except for the US Open missing the cut. And that was right after, you know, not right after his dad's death, but his first event back after his dad's death. Really wasn't prepared to play golf, he said himself. So, you know, I personally give him a pass there. But so the last 8 majors, he's won 4, been top 4 in all the others, and missed the cut in the one. Batting 500 in the past 2 years in majors.
Well, and he's just gaining a lot of momentum. I mean, coming off of Vijay Singh's big year in 2004, obviously some...
That seems so long ago, does it not?
Yeah, it does. It seems like a long time ago, and obviously the slump, quote-unquote, the swing changes, all these things holding Tiger back, one win, and all of a sudden he's back, and he's back with a vengeance, and he's really playing smart golf.
Eventually people are going to listen to him when he says, I'm not in a slump, I'm working on a swing change. Trust me, yeah. When I come back, and I get it, it'll be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he hasn't ever slumped. He's worked on his swing twice with two different teachers and come back better. We'll get into this a little bit later, but Tiger has said, he's playing as well as he was in 99-2000 with added knowledge, and he understands better how to get more out of his game now. So
yeah, well, and all the people are silenced now. Again, Tiger's playing the way he is, and you know the chase to Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors is on, and everyone says it's a lock. Well, you know, it was probably a lock all along, but of course the doubters kind of come in and always feel the best player in the world right now. And
that's
and
what we were talking about in April. You and I were talking about it. I don't think we agreed to it. I think we said in the past month he was, but overall no.
Right.
And that's the kind of silliness that was going around early this year, because Phil had won 2 majors in a row. Tiger's now won 2 majors in a row, and 4 of the last 8. Phil's sitting at 3 of the last 12 now, so not quite the same.
No.
Of course, after the PGA is all said and done, on Monday, Tom Lehman named his captain's picks to the Ryder Cup, naming Scott Verplank and Stuart Sink, thankfully bypassing Davis Love III, Fred Couples, and a few other people that I'm glad didn't make the team. I would have been happy with anybody, pretty much, except Davis Love and Fred Couples. I would have been happy with Ryan Moore. He has a proven match play record, obviously winning, having a great amateur season. Still battling a wrist injury, but he seemed to have a creative way to overcome that at the PGA. I would have backed many people, but Stuart Sink and Scott Verplank were probably the tops of my list.
So. Yeah, well, great choices. I mean, it was time. It was well over time for the United States to change up the team a little bit. Obviously, the points determined who was going in years past, but, you know, we've seen, I think, a needed change in... the addition of Stuart Sink, Scott Verplank, and of course, those who earned their spots were a little different than in years past anyway.
Tom said he kept track of the top 10 Americans each week. Instead of the top 10, we're often... We would only have 2 or 3 top finishers that were Americans each week. And Stuart Sink, say, maybe he was finishing 12th. He wouldn't get any Ryder Cup points, but he'd be like the 3rd best American week to week. Tom said he kept track of his own list that way, and that led him to pick Scott Verplank and Stuart Sink. So, on Tiger Woods, by the way, he said, if I ever hear someone question Tiger Woods' desire to play in the Ryder Cup again, I'll go crazy. He then followed up by saying Tiger and Phil have both taken a very dramatic leadership role on the team, and the one thing that's in common is their desire to win. So I take his word for it. He's
well, you know,
talked to them more than I have.
And again, that's totally against what we know of Tiger Woods. If we just take Tiger, Tiger's going to go out there, and I don't care what kind of event he plays in, whether it's a pickup game with someone on the golf course.
Tiger would try to kick your ass playing cards.
Yeah, I mean, he's a competitor. He's not going to go out there and just think, this is just the Ryder Cup. All I care about is the majors. No, he's going to try to win every hole, every event he enters. Doesn't matter what it is.
All we need is to get someone on the other team to say something like Stephen Ames said.
That'd be perfect.
Maybe Tom Lehman could fake a news clipping and, you know, quote Ian Woosnam as saying, well, the way Tiger's driving it nowadays, anything can happen.
Uh-huh.
That's what Stephen Ames said, right? So
fire him up.
I'd love to see Tiger Woods winning a Ryder Cup singles 9-8. Probably won't happen. What will happen is that we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this message from Titleist and Chip Shots from Golf Gods. Stay with us.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand, and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
From the studios of GolfGods.com in Minneapolis, this is Chip Shots, a weekly look at golf equipment news, brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of TheSandTrap.com.
This week on Chip Shots, Big Ben is cheap and easy. Once again this week, I called Golf Gods in-house expert Nick Thompson to discuss what products are captivating consumers' attention. Nick's been playing a lot of different equipment this summer, and this week we discussed the market's best values. The award for best value goes to the Ben Hogan CS3, which stands for Custom Shot Shaping. Available in three distinct models, draw, neutral, and fade, weight bias, the CS3 allows you to correct your most common miss and gets you closer to your target. According to Nick, the club is what he called super balanced, and he says the CS3 can hold its own versus the pricier TaylorMade R7 Quad and the Callaway 454. At $99, down from $139 just a few weeks ago, you're going to save a lot of dough on this premium product that's been price reduced to sell. And for that kind of dough, you can hardly buy a cheap imported clone. The CS3 comes stock with the green Aldea NV shaft, which is perfectly tuned to the driver. Despite the composite construction, it's got a clean, non-busy look at address. The stock Ben Hogan grip is specially contoured and described as easy to hold. So what was most appealing to Nick? Well, he really couldn't come up with the words, but he said, man, that sound was just very appealing and fun to listen to. That's it for Chip Shots this week. Now back to the podcast.
And welcome back. This week in our forum topic of the week, this was created by Subpar, is Sergio and also Ran. He says, I've been thinking lately that Sergio is poised to become one of the greatest, should have been but never was, on the tour. He obviously has some physical skills, but he does not seem to have the imagination and closing ability to win many times or win majors. Unless Sergio is playing every oddball tournament that all the top 20 players skip, he may not break 10 wins. Side note here, he has 11 internationally. And I hardly see a major in his future. His stats are amazingly poor for someone who bursts onto the scene with such flair and fanfare. Agree or disagree, Jeff, that Sergio may be and also Ran?
Yeah, he may be, but let me back up a little bit. I mean, we go back to Tiger and Sergio head-to-head, and he was never, he was somebody that the media seized upon for that one weekend.
He had his boyish good looks, and he actually Tiger somewhat of a run.
He gave Tiger a run, but was Sergio ever really everything that people said that he was, is my question.
His performance in the Ryder Cup is stellar. He's got the Spanish mojo working in the Ryder Cup, uh-huh. So I'll give him that. But week-to-week, I mean, and he has won 11 times internationally, which beats Jim Furyk. He has the skills. It's just something seems to be off week to week. He's one of the best drivers of the ball in the game. It's just I don't know that his will to win is there, or you know, some mental thing putting.
He's still young.
He's 26, so
he's still young.
You know, he's 4 or 5 years younger than Tiger. So
I mean, look at how many wins a guy like Vijay Singh grabbed when he was 40 years old.
Right.
So I mean, he's still young.
Phil Mickelson was 0-46 in the majors before he figured out how to win them. So perhaps a similar maturation process can occur with Sergio. To wrap up my true thoughts, I said in the forum here, someone pointed out that Phil didn't win till he was 34. Sergio's far too young to start saying this kind of stuff about him. My comment was, even still, if you gave me good odds, I'd put $100 down on Sergio never winning a major. I just don't know.
On putting alone, maybe?
Right. I'd need some good odds, but I'd be willing to put $100 on it. So we'll be right back.
In the heat of competition, you should really stick to your go-to shot. For me, that's a tight little draw.
Copy your practice swing and don't think about results.
Just take your time, keep everything nice and slow.
When I'm under pressure, I think about my kids.
I think of my kid too.
Keep it simple, play one shot at a time.
Don't be tentative, stay real aggressive.
Make sure and drink lots of water.
Concentrate on concentrating.
Don't think too much.
Just remember to breathe.
And don't panic.
And one more tip, trust your titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And welcome back. This is our beating ball segment, and coincidentally enough, we're going to start it with a Sergio Garcia topic. Jeff, tell us about this story.
Well, basically, someone seized upon the idea that, you know, Sergio has some positive thoughts about winning, and, you know, the story that we'll link to in the podcast is basically saying, you know, when is Tiger going to give others a chance? And Sergio apparently will be there to receive that gift from Tiger. my take is
that he's going to be waiting by the mailbox.
Yeah, and I think Sergio is going to be waiting a long time by the mailbox for that to happen. It's certainly not going to come gift wrapped,
right,
from Tiger Woods.
Someone asked Tiger in his post-round press conference whether he ever felt sorry for his fellow competitors getting beat down so frequently. You can guess what his one-word answer was.
No.
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 Sergio,
and they and he shouldn't feel sorry. Sergio's got to, he's going to have to seize the moment.
He's going to have to go out and grab it.
He's going to have to take it and not wait for Tiger to give it to him. As I mean, nobody on tour should do that.
I'm reminded of the movie with Kevin Kline. He was in the closet as a gay guy, and he was listening to these Be a Man tapes. And the guy on the tape says, tells him to adjust himself, and he flips his hair. He says, not there. The family jewels. Grab them. Sergio Garcia is going to go out and grab something. He's going to need to go out and do something forcefully, not, you know, sit around and wait passively for...
Yeah, lose the yellow outfit on Sunday. Get out there and play like you mean it.
Sean McKeel finished second. Welcome back. I mean, he missed the cut in the last, like, 1,400 majors since his PGA win. His last seven, actually. All of 2005 and the first three of 2006. But somehow finishes second in the PGA Championship. Once again, basically demonstrating that perhaps the course wasn't exactly set up like a major. If someone like Sean McKeel could sneak into second.
Right.
I mean, it was almost set up like a regular tour event, as Tiger alluded to. You know,
it certainly was playing like that.
Except on Sunday when everyone was going backwards, but the right. conditions well, were certainly still the same. So
I think McKeel's finish really shows us that he is a great player. You know, he's got the skill to do it. People are streaky. Golf is a streaky game. You know, but I think it reveals that Sean McKeel is an excellent player. Obviously, is he going to be another major winner?
He's going to wait for Tiger to give him one.
Now, gift-wrapped.
Sean McKeel has been in the news lately as being someone that needs to or has recently been diagnosed with low testosterone levels, so he takes a supplementary testosterone thing, and he says it's really improved his mood. He's no longer listless and lazy and kind of unfocused right. and whatnot. And this segues into our next story, again, about drug testing on the PGA Tour. Certainly, it's a medical condition that's outside of whatever. He's not taking testosterone to bulk up or anything. You know, it's a complex issue. You know, beta blockers, there's health reasons why you might take those, yet they may have some benefits to playing golf. Maybe not, you know. But Tim Fincham keeps saying all these weird things about drug testing. He's saying, we're looking into whether or not we should have a drug testing policy, but nothing is imminent. That's Votaw speaking. Fincham keeps saying things like, we don't need a drug testing policy, but I'm certain that if we did have one, that our guys would all be clean. It's like, well then, why not have one and just show the world? I mean, it's going to come up and bite you in the butt sooner or later, is what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, I think it's an inevitable thing. I think we need to do it. I mean, every other sport you see today is completely full of people who are roided out, have some kind of, they're taking something to keep them going. Baseball is a good example. The Tour de France, and the NFL, it doesn't matter what it is. And I think it's important that the PGA makes a statement, steps up there and says, you know, we're going to stand against this, and to police it, we're going to have tests.
And likely there aren't any golfers or any high-ranking golfers doing anything right now. But the concern is the golfers that feel the pressure coming out of college to do something right away. And the people brought up, you know, more in this performance-enhancing drug era that may not think of the future. Tiger Woods is looking at a 30-year career, and that's one thing that separates golf from football. You have 6 years in football, say, to make your splash and make your money and set records and go home. Golf is a 30-year thing, so taking steroids for, you know, to enhance your performance for 5 years is really going to have a negative effect on your health for those later 25 years. And I think people like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and, you know, all the top golfers know that. But I don't know that kids coming out of college know that. So eventually something's going to happen. Someone's going to be doing something funny. So get out of the head of it, basically, is what I think the PGA Tour should do. They did drug testing in a French tournament, I believe, and I think all they really found was some marijuana and some caffeine. So, you know, nice. It's unlikely that, you know, there's whatever. But, you know, where do you draw the line? I mean, Sean McKeel is doing testosterone because he has to. I mean, it's a quality of life thing for him. He wasn't being a good father, he said, because he was low on... It's a complex thing, but certainly steroids, probably not legal unless you had a heart transplant or something, and some other things. So, I mean, there are places where you can draw a line, even if it's a little fuzzy. But right now, it's just a big gray area. So here's an article called Tiger's Best to Come, and we'll let you read it. But the question I had, and one I posted in the forum, was Tiger Woods has now won two majors in a row. He's got the Masters at Augusta, of course, as his next major. Next April, a course he always performs well at, and a course where he's usually a 2-1, you know, favorite to win. And then he plays Oakmont, which I think will favor him. I think it's going to be set up very difficult. It's somewhat linksy, and it's going to favor, you know, people that can make shots that a lot of people perhaps can't. What are the odds, do you think, of Tiger Woods winning another Tiger Slam, winning Augusta and at Oakmont? the U.S. Open next year to hold all four majors again at the same time.
Well, I don't know if I could put my finger on odds.
Give me percentage here. What percent chance do you think he has of doing that?
Yeah, no, obviously. Of holding all four again? I'd give him as high as 20% chance of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think his odds are winning all four next year are?
10-12, something like that.
10-12, okay. Because he was, let's exclude the U.S. Open this year, and look at, you know, his last seven majors, excluding that. No worse than tie for fourth, so give him, if you sprinkle five shots around, he basically has it in one of those 2 years. Frightening. I'll agree with you. Probably, I'd say maybe even as high as 30% on the Tiger Slam, and probably 10% or so on career slam, or the yearly slam, the one-year slam next year, so.
I think the scary thing about next year is to realize that he's settled into his swing changes. He's very confident. He's 30 years old. He has more experience than he did when he first broke onto the scene. He has just as much fire and fight to win. So, man, you know, the next couple of years could be electric. I mean, he could just light it up.
It's a scary thought to think that Tiger Woods could break Jack Nicklaus's record of, you know, 18 majors in 2008.
Yeah, and it certainly
likely won't happen, but it could. So
it could happen.
Yeesh. Of course, earlier in the week, actually last Thursday, but it came out Tuesday of PGA Championship week, Dave Pelz made some remarks about when Mickelson is on, he's the best in the world, and from 150 yards and in, Mickelson's the best in the world. Dave.
I think it's kind of reminiscent.
Pelz needs to be tested for some marijuana.
For mind-altering drugs. Right. For me, it's reminiscent of like the stuff we used to hear in college, you know, out of some guys, if I dropped, you know, 50 pounds and bulked up, and then I could run the 440, I could be in the NFL, I really could. You know, I mean, it's kind of like... Come on, you know? I mean, just look at the record. Look at who's winning. It's Tiger. Who's the best in the world?
When Tiger's at his best, it was funny. Someone asked him in the press center. He said, you know, what do you think of Dave Pell's comments? And he goes something like, oh, when I'm playing well, I think I'm pretty tough to beat, too. I mean, Dave Pelz is employed by Phil Mickelson, so he's got to talk his guy up. And Phil Mickelson joked that, you know, he tries not to give the press anything. He pays people to do that now. But
Right. Seriously,
Dave Pelz, dumb. We've seen what Tiger Woods has done with motivation.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, is Phil Mickelson has an awesome short game. I mean, we've seen that. You know, the guy is a master of getting himself out of pinches. Further than a year ago when he won the PGA Championship. You know, right. His last flop shot on the final hole, real close, tapped in for the win. I mean, obviously the guy is a great... He's a master of the short game. But to say that he's better than anybody else...
And he's more creative and so on?
Yeah. I don't know. That's pushing it for me. I mean, just look in the video vault for some of Tiger Woods', you know, amazing shots in the last, well, his whole career.
I just know Dave Pelz is smoking something.
Crack.
Pat Hurst wins the Safeway Classic. Ashley Prang shot 77-77, the big break winner, of course, so not really in contention at all. It was Morgan Pressel had a chance to win, but shot two over in the final round to fall back to tied for seventh or something like that. Kind of almost her best finish of the year, I believe. Pat Hurst getting back on the horse after losing to Annika Sorenstam in the U.S. Women's Open, so congratulations to her. But PGA was this week, so we don't really care.
If the truth be told, we don't care.
We don't care. Sorry. We do care about Carolyn Bivens, though, because we do, you know, most weeks of the year, like the LPGA Tour. And there's some positive press here we're going to link to, finally, about Carolyn Bivens, in that she's trying to do some positive things for the LPGA Tour. And that's never been in doubt. She's trying to get a retirement plan. She's trying to get health care. She's trying to get a lot of things provided for her players. The bad press comes from the manner in which she tries to do those things, by pissing a lot of people off. I don't think anyone's doubting that she's trying to do good. I don't think people think she's actually evil. I just think people are disagreeing with the way she's going about trying to do these good things for the LPGA members. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I mean, we haven't really given her, a whole lot of a good press here ever since she took the helm. You know, for me, it's kind of a wait and see. I don't know. She's going to have to prove herself. I think it's great that she is, you know, trying to give back to the players by giving them, the things that you mentioned. But it's a wait and see for me.
Fair enough. That about does it for episode 34 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Of course, our forum topic of the week is chosen from our forum, where you can join and participate at thesandtrap.com/forum. If you're semi-intelligent, you may come up with next week's forum topic of the week. You may not even need to be semi-intelligent, just sarcastic and rude. Who knows?
There's a lot of that there.
There we go. So stop by and post something. And for Eric Barzeski, I'm Eric Barzeski. For Jeff Smith, this is Eric Barzeski saying, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.